Phoenix FM.
Following its devastating defeat at the recent general election and the subsequent resignation of Ed Miliband, the contest to find a new leader for the Labour Party is gathering momentum. But the party's also looking for a new deputy leader. And I'm joined by one of the frontrunners, MP for the South Yorkshire constituency of Don Valley, Caroline Flint. Caroline, hello.
Hello, Alan.
Thanks for taking the time to speak to Phoenix. Keen to find out in a moment what direction you'd like to see the Labour Party take in the future. But before we talk about that, tell us briefly why you're in Brentwood.
Well, I've been invited by Mike Lesurf today to meet with members, not only from Brentwood, but from the other constituencies in South Essex, you know, to hear about why I'm standing for deputy leader, but also I wanted to hear from them about their thoughts about the election and what we should be doing to get back to winning ways. And it's been a great opportunity. We're here at the Leisure Centre in Brentwood. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to stay for Human League tonight.
That's a shame, isn't it? They actually come from your part of the country as well, don't they?
Yes, they do. I'm up in Sheffield, actually. There's, yeah, so I'm a big fan of 80s music, I have
to say. Quite a connection there. Getting back to boring old politics, though, actually, it's not so boring, is it? And that's one word that you can't use for the general election, whatever else you feel about it. Why do you think that Labour did so badly?
I think there were two big factors. I think, clearly, we didn't win enough votes, for a start. And we didn't win enough votes, particularly in England, because I think people didn't think we were credible on the economy. But importantly, you know, those working class and middle class people in work who aren't necessarily reliant on benefits, we didn't have enough of an offer to them about, you know, that they wouldn't be worse off under Labour, that we supported their families, we valued their contribution, and we had some policies for them that would make them feel that, yeah, do you know what? I'll vote Labour because they're going to look after us as well as other people. And unfortunately, we didn't have a clear enough offer to those people and they didn't vote for us.
So do you think people still blame Labour for the financial crisis?
Well, Labour didn't cause the financial crisis, but what we allowed to happen was the Tories to create that myth. I mean, back in the crash, you know, it was worldwide. We all know that. And at that time, it was important for us to make sure that we kept the banks afloat, because otherwise people here and elsewhere in the UK would have lost their savings. But also, importantly, that we were getting to a position of growth and unemployment coming down by the time we got to 2010. The problem was we didn't defend our record in those early days of the coalition government. And that's something that's come back and bitten us, because it enabled the Tories to develop their sense that we didn't do enough. And that's what voters had in their mind when they went to the ballot.
So a lot of this is about communication.
It is about communication, and it is about defending our record. Not only what we did to, for example, when the global financial crash hit, you know, we stopped huge numbers of people losing their homes. Actually, we stopped more people than necessary becoming unemployed. And actually, the number of businesses that went insolvent during that period was a lot less than it was under the recession under the previous Tory government. So, look, we have a record in terms of supporting the economy, a strong economy. There's been more periods under Labour governments of surpluses than there have been under Tories, but we allowed our record to be undermined, and that was one of the problems we faced when it came to polling day.
In terms of the economy, the net debt at the moment is £1.5 trillion. Say it quickly, and it doesn't sound too much.
Yes.
And it's rising now. Labour and a lot of people outside the Labour Party as well often criticise the Conservatives for wanting to cut too far and too fast. Mm. But surely with debt levels like that, there's a suggestion that perhaps the Tories aren't going far enough.
Well, let's remember what the Tories did promise us in 2010. David Cameron and George Osborne promised that they would make cuts and eliminate the deficit. And the reality is that they made very big cuts that has affected our public services drastically, but also they sucked the life out of our economy. And in the end of the parliament, actually, they've only halved the deficit. Alistair Darling, you know, he did have a plan to make cuts if we'd won the election in 2010. But what he said is that I'm going to make cuts to halve the deficit, but our cuts were not as savage and they wouldn't have sucked the life out of our economy. So they have failed the Tories. They promised to get rid of the deficit, they haven't. They promised that they wouldn't have to borrow more, and they are. And actually, you know, what we're seeing at the moment is unemployment for the first time in a long time last week go up. And so they have got a case to prove themselves on their economic competence over the years ahead. And we will hold them on their claims, and we will hold them to account for when they get it wrong.
I'd like to just ask you quickly, Caroline, about something else that's an issue across the country, but particularly in this part of the world. And it's something that affects young people a lot as well, which I know is a section of society and the electorate that you are concerned about. And that's the fact that a lot of people simply can't afford somewhere to live. Now, I think a lot of all of the political parties are promising to build more, and that doesn't seem to be happening as quickly as perhaps it needs to. But do you think there's another issue here, that people buying property as an investment rather than as somewhere to live, do you think that's had an effect on pricing out of the market people who simply want a roof over their heads?
Look, when I was a child growing up, we lived in the private rented sector, and we lived in a council flat. And the period when I was a child during my primary school years in the private rented sector, we pretty much were able to stay in the same house all through my primary school years. There wasn't this situation like every 6 months or a year having to renew your tenancy. And we also knew what to expect in terms of the rents we would pay. Obviously, I was a child at the time, but you know, my family knew what to expect. And that gave a sort of stability, if you like, for me to get through my primary school years with my brother and sister, but also for families who are trying to find a job and put down roots, it provides that security as well. Now, where we are today is that a lot of people are relying on the private rented sector, not just young people, but families as well. But often they don't have that security of tenure. They have to renegotiate their tenancy agreements. And often, you know, the costs that are being applied to them are too high. Now, we have seen the housing benefit bill go up enormously. And that's not because of social housing. That's because we're paying through housing benefit to private landlords. And there has to be a better way to provide a system. I would like to see more of the money that goes into housing benefit actually go into building affordable homes and social homes for families who are in work, but they're on low incomes. And the truth is, they probably wouldn't be able to afford to buy a home. And we've got to turn this around to make sure that people have the sort of things that we all want from having a secure roof over our head, is the ability to put down roots, to raise our families and to get a job, and know that that's not going to be taken away from us because our housing is insecure.
Caroline, there's plenty more that we could talk about. I know time is getting the better of us, but keen to know just quickly the direction you'd like to see the Labour Party taking. Is it a simple a choice between left and right? Does it come down to that, or is it more complex than that? You've talked about communication of the message, but there's got to be more to it than that, surely.
Look, I want the direction the party to go to is a winning direction. And look, the Labour Party isn't some pressure group. You know, we exist, you know, to win elections, to improve lives for people, and I think make, you know, the world a better place. And that's why the Labour Party was formed, to speak up for ordinary people, you know, 110 years ago. And our values are as important today as they were then. And we win elections. We won elections after World War II and under Harold Wilson, and in 97 with Tony Blair and Gordon Brown, because we were able to speak to the concerns of that broad group of people, working class and middle class, who, you know, want to know that they're going to have good public services, but also want to know the economy is going to be run in a way that they can make sure they're in work, getting decent wages and decent futures for themselves and their family. And, you know, we need to get back to making sure that our message speaks to those people. And I think in this last election, it's not that we didn't have some good individual policies, but I don't think we were strong enough in communicating that central message. And these fantastic people, decent people who play by the rules, who want to look after their families, not with a lot of interference from government, but know that government is on their side. These are the people who in the past have voted Labour and allowed us to get into power to do things like have a national minimum wage, have decent homes, decent schools and a decent health service. And we need to win them back again, because they are the bedrock of our country.
So who are you supporting for leader?
I am not coming out for any of the leadership candidates, because as deputy, should I be successful, I'll have to work with any one of them. But I tell you this much, whoever is elected leader, my job is to keep them focused on what we need to do to win back votes, to win a Labour government in 2020 and do more good things for our country.
Caroline Flint, you've said as part of your campaign that the Labour Party needs a deputy leader who's unafraid to go on the Today programme or on Question Time. And you've also been prepared to speak to Phoenix FM today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Phoenix FM. Delighted.